Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
I wanted us to see something here that I just couldn't get away from. It's a parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 13. To see the parable the way he shared it, you'd have to go back to verse number 24. So let's do this. Verse 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, read that next statement, an enemy hath done this. Read that again, an enemy hath done this. So he knew that he had sown good seed that would yield a good harvest, but it wasn't until the harvest came up that he recognized that something had been sown other than what he had intentionally sown. So then in verse 31, Jesus would teach another parable about seed. And in verse 33, he would speak yet another parable. But it wasn't till later in verse 36 where he had ended his ministry that day and the disciples came unto him in the house and they said, look, what is it about this parable of the tares? We want to know more about this parable. So in verse 37, what Jesus is getting ready to do is so important we get a hold of this. What he's getting ready to do is he's getting ready to take this natural story and he's going to cast more light on it to make sure they get the spiritual reality of the natural story, because that's what a parable is. A parable is a parallel. It's taking a natural story to teach a spiritual principle. So beginning in verse 37, it's no longer a parable, it's the explanation of the parable. Jesus is speaking to the spiritual principle and reality of what he had shared as a parable earlier. And he breaks down each point starting in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Please don't miss what he's gonna say in verse 38. The field is the world. Read that part out loud. The field is the world. Now, when you read about the world in Scripture, it comes from one of two words when you read the word world. You're either going to see that word derived from the Greek word cosmos or the Greek word aeon or eon. Many times we use the word eon when we talk about time, eons of time. The word world is not the earth. It represents a time, an age. It represents a people. It represents a system. So when you look at the earth, that's not the world, that's the earth. But the people that occupy the earth, the systems, the belief systems, the political systems, the ways, that is the world. And so when Jesus speaks of the world, he's talking about the people, he's talking about an age, he's talking about a system, and he says, the field is the world. Say that again. The field is the world. Notice Jesus said the world is a field. And that field has wheat in it, and that field has tares in it. And based on the seed that was sown, determines whether or not the field is filled with wheat, or filled with tares, or filled with wheat and tares. Now, there's a popular word that I want us to understand when we read this parable, and that is the word culture. Culture. Because many times we look at what's going on in the world and we say today's culture is this, or today's culture is that. The word culture just means harvest. So anytime you talk about a culture, you're saying harvest. Pop culture is pop harvest. Any culture is a harvest. There's a culture in Louisiana. There's a culture in certain areas of the nation. There's a culture in certain places of the world. When we were in Ethiopia, I didn't know it was a part of their culture that when you visit a house of an Ethiopian, that they serve you Ethiopian coffee, popcorn and bananas. That is their culture. That you sit down and it's about an hour process and you drink real strong but yet very smooth Ethiopian coffee. Probably the best coffee I've ever drank was in Ethiopia. It's smooth, but it's very rich. And I'm a little weak when it comes to coffee because I like a milder roast, so I'm not really as manly as most of y'all. But Ethiopian coffee is strong, but it's real smooth. But yet they bring out this big old gigantic bucket of popcorn and bananas. And you have coffee, popcorn, and bananas. Now, I don't know how many of you ever sat around your table and had coffee, popcorn, and bananas, because that may not be the culture that we're used to. But a culture, we describe a culture by what's celebrated. What's discipline? What is the culture of this society? The culture of any society, the culture of your home, the culture of your marriage, the culture of your children, the culture of a city is based on what is being sown into that culture. The culture of the world is based on what is being sown. So if you're seeing something change in the world, it didn't just change. The seed changed. What was being sown into that society changed. You cannot change the culture until you change the seed. I'm going to say it another way. You cannot change the world until you change the seed. I'll say it another way. You cannot change the harvest until you change the seed. That's the harvest of your life. That's the harvest of your marriage. That's the harvest of your family, your children, your home. That's the harvest of the church. That's the harvest of the community. That's the harvest of the city. That's the harvest of the nation. You don't change it till you change the seed. That is the principle that Jesus is declaring right here. Can everybody understand that very simple principle? It's as old as time. It's as old as time. This principle is as old as man himself. For when God created the earth and produced this garden of vegetation in the earth, he made man and put him in a garden. Man started in a garden. He didn't start in a cave. He started in a garden. And God gave man dominion over that garden, management of that garden. How he managed that garden determined its increase. And God established this law. Please get this law I'm getting ready to share with you. It's in Genesis 1:11. Genesis 1:11. Put that in your notes. God established this law that every fruit contains seed that when planted would yield more of its own kind. So God established a law that every kind of seed would produce that kind of harvest. That you could not plant lemon seed and get apples. That you could not plant cantaloupe seed and get cucumbers. That whatever you planted, that's what you would reap. That's naturally and that is spiritually. That every seed would produce more of its own kind. God echoes this in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Which means I cannot change my harvest until I change my seed. And I can't look at the harvest of my life and wonder how it got there. No, it got there because of what I've been sowing. My life is filled with the fruit of what I've been sowing. My life is filled with the harvest of what I've been sowing. You say, "But Pastor, I don't think I sowed all that." Well, then maybe you let the enemy sow it. Maybe you were like these men right here, that while you were sleeping, the enemy planted something in your life or in your marriage or in your home or in your children's lives or in the community. But understand this, culture, harvest, the world is based on the seed that is sown into it. All of that came out of that one statement in verse 38. Look at what Jesus said. Read it one more time. The field is the world. Read it again. I want to hear you. The field is the world. He's saying the world is a field. The world is a field. And the world will culture, or the world will harvest whatever is sown into it. When you look at what's going on in our nation, when you look at what's going on in our communities, it's not coincidental. Things don't just happen. Violence, murder, hatred, all these things are the result of the sowing of the enemy. Perversion, wickedness, it does not just happen. It is sown by the enemy. It is sown in conversation. It is sown through Hollywood. It is sown over the internet. It is sown what people sing and what people produce and what people write. And if we're not cautious of the seed that we allow to be planted in our lives, we'll cause the harvest of those things that we detest to come into manifestation in our life, because whatsoever you sow is what you will reap. If you don't like the harvest of your life, you must change the seed. The only way you change the city is change what's being sown into that city. The only way you change the world is change what's being sown into that world. That's why we need this word. Now, I got a whole lot more to share. Watch what Jesus says here. The field is the world. So you have to recognize that the world's walking in the harvest of what's being sown. And God sows good seed, and the enemy sows wicked seed. And we're walking in the crosshairs of a culture war, seeing the result of both being sown. Let me say this word real quick. Don't be discouraged by the evil of the world. Don't be discouraged by the darkness that's in society. Don't be discouraged by the hate and the perversion and what looks like the momentum of darkness in our world. Because where sin abounds, grace always much more abounds. And don't worry, because the light always shines its brightest in the midst of darkness. My wife was sharing with me just the other day that one of the largest revivals and movements of church is actually taking place right now in Iran. A place that you would least expect it, because of the Islamic stronghold on those people and on that region. But yet underground churches are popping up. There is a movement that's taking place in Iran that's actually being led by spirit-filled women that are moving and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in an area where that's been unheard of. Listen, you can change any culture. You can change any person. You can change any society by simply changing the seed that's being sown in that culture. And that's what's happening right there. Glory to God. If we look at what's going on in the world and say, what's the use? Then we forfeit the battle and let the enemy prevail. But no, God's not called me to give up, cave in, and quit. He's called me to advance his kingdom. And I got to recognize that in Jesus' parables of the kingdom, 90% of them were in relationship to a seed and what was being sown. Let's wrap this up. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. That word one, wicked one, is italicized, and in a King James Bible, an italicized word means it was added. It's what I love about the King James Bible. I get to see what was there originally, and I get to see what man added. I like the original, but the tares are the children of the wicked. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The enemy that sold them is the devil. Read that part out loud. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The enemy wants to change the harvest of your life by planting seed in your life. The enemy wants to change the harvest of our children by planting his seed in our children. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is no longer a parable. Jesus is explaining a parable, and he's saying there are many that will go into this fire and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now you can say, well, Pastor, I don't believe in hell. And I'll say back to you, I could not take that chance. I've read enough in the Bible to know of its existence, and I believe the Bible to be the word of God, and I do not believe Jesus could tell a lie. And right here, he's telling me about flames and fire that folk are going to enter into. That was enough for me to become James A. Believer McManus. No, can't take that chance. I believe Jesus died not only to give me abundant life, he died more importantly to give me eternal life. Hallelujah. So Jesus just described the world as we know it how it operates and how it's going to end. And he emphasizes that whether or not you're a child of the kingdom or you are a child of the wicked one is based on the seed that's been sown in your life. So if you're taking notes or you're one that writes in your Bible, next to that verse, verse number 38 or 39, I want you to write down 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Now come with me real quick to Mark chapter 4. Turn over a few pages to Mark chapter 4. Matthew, Mark's next door, chapter number 4. Because Jesus mentions a parable here in Mark 4 that I want us to look at. Now, let's back up and talk about this just for a little bit more. Seed, harvest, what am I sowing? What am I planting in my heart? God has set up the process of sowing and reaping to include seed and ground. No seed, no matter how healthy that seed, how productive that seed, no seed will produce until it is planted. You can take a bag of seed and leave it on your countertop and never yield anything until you put it in the right soil, the right ground. Seed must be planted in the right ground before it can yield its harvest. That's natural agriculture I'm talking here. You cannot see the harvest of a seed till you plant it. God's designed the earth to receive seed and make that seed yield its increase. Hallelujah. It will cause that seed to yield its increase when that soul receives that seed. The same is true spiritually, that my heart has to be receptive to the Word of God. That if my heart is not receiving the seed of His Word, it will not yield its increase. Let me say it to you another way. You can have a Bible open on your coffee table, open to the 23rd Psalm in your living room, and you will not see the manifestation of the Lord being your shepherd, you shall not want. Lying down in green pastures and your cup running over, because even though you have that open in your living room, it won't do no good open in your living room until that word open in your living room gets into your heart. Toting a Bible and putting it in the back dash of your car so everybody sees your car will know you're a Christian will not do anything for you until you put that word in your heart. Listen, having a Bible app on your phone that sends you a scripture every day will not do any good if you don't take time to read that scripture and meditate on that scripture and get that scripture in your heart. Going to church with a Bible in your hand will not do a bit of good if when you get to church you don't actually open the Bible and read it and get that word. Setting in church where the Word of God is being ministered will not do you any good if you're thinking about something else somewhere else. I have got to get this Word planted in my heart before it is ever going to yield a harvest. The heart has to receive it. Every seed has to land in the right ground before it yields its harvest. God put man in a garden. And he gave him dominion over the seed. And he gave him a law in Genesis 1:11 so they would never be confused. When he said, every seed planted will yield more of its own kind. So if you want more of whatever, all you got to do is get that seed in the right ground and you can have more of that. And when God doesn't want it together, it won't reproduce. So God, Adam couldn't take a dog and a cat and make a dat. Because every seed will only produce more of its own kind. So if God wanted man to have more humans in the earth, then he had to give man something or someone to unite with so that the seed could be planted so the harvest could come. And so God gave Adam a man with a womb called womb man or woman. And the woman had the ability to receive Adam's seed and have a child. And now Adamites filled the earth, Adam's family. But Adam's seed anywhere else would not produce. His seed had to enter into a man with the womb. And now there was they could be fruitful and they could multiply. My point is that no matter what kind of seed you're talking about, until the seed gets in the right ground, it won't yield a harvest. Until the word of God gets in the heart of man, it won't yield a harvest. We've got to get this word in our heart. In a world that rejects this word, we got to get this word. We've got to be intentional about what it is that we're sowing and what we're allowing to be sown in our lives and what we're allowing to be sown in our homes and in our children's lives. Because until you control the seed that is being sown, you cannot control the harvest. You want to change your life? Change your seed. You want to change the neighborhood? Change the seed. You want to know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? What Jesus just said is, if you don't get this point I'm getting ready to make, you won't understand anything else I say. This is the principal parable. You must get it before you get any other one. What is that parable, Jesus? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. We have to recognize God's word as a seed, that this word is a seed. If I want the harvest of this word, I got to treat this word like seed. In Luke 17, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I relate. Who wouldn't want an increase of faith? I want an increase of faith. Lord, increase my faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus didn't say abracadabra, faith exists. No, he said, treat your faith like seed. If you go back and look at what he said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, folk have messed that all up, talking about size. If you had the faith, the size, he didn't even use the word size. He was talking about treat what you got like seed. If you treat faith like seed, he was telling them the only way you're gonna increase your faith is you gotta start treating it like seed. How can you grow anything without treating it like seed? You want more money? Treat the money you got like seed. You want more friends? Treat being friendly like seed. You can't have the abundance of anything until you start treating the thing like seed. You cannot walk in the harvest of something that you will not sow.
Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's message. For more information and resources, visit our website at wogm.com. I'm Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. Have a blessed week.